Praise the Lord. This is Brother Greg from the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. Stay right with us for the next hour. We're glad you're here. We've got testimonies of people that have been saved and born again and washed in the blood of Jesus. We've got responses from around the world. We've got a message from Pastor Lamo I'm sure you're not going to want to miss. We've got Spirit-filled music. So stay right with us, and we're going to start this program in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord and our God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for the free gift of salvation, for eternal life, for the blood of the Lamb, and for the word of our testimony. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you called us out of a world of darkness to give us your eternal life. Lord, and we pray right now, Lord, that you pour out your outward anointing, the baptism and the Holy Spirit, the ministering Spirit. In these last days, we have the inward anointing, Lord, and we're believing you for the outward anointing. That you'll be with us, Lord, that you'll speak through us, Lord and my God, that everything that's done here will be to your eternal and everlasting glory, for you alone are worthy. And we're asking these things with confidence and with boldness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Right now, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have a song. Now, this song is a very, very special song to me. It's my favorite song, as a matter of fact, because when I was brand new saved Christian, I was newly saved, I went through a fiery trial, a valley. And when the Lord lifted me out of that valley, I heard music in the Spirit. And it was a song from the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation. That song is called King of Kings. And it's a version that's been done nowhere else in the entire world. And it was so good that Neil Young took that song and put it on his album, Journey Through the Past. It's a world-famous song. But in my desperate hour, in my hour of need, God Almighty played this actual version of this song. It's a long song. It's probably 5 minutes. And I heard every note of this song the exact way of this song right here in the Spirit as God lifted me out of this valley, this darkness. So listen closely to this beautiful song, and it's done by former hippies, drug addicts, street people that Tony and Susan Lamo went out onto the streets and won their souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. None of these were professional musicians, and they just, the pastors got them together, and they learned. So this music is from many years ago, probably close to 40 years ago, that this was arranged and done right here in this ministry. And so listen carefully to King of Kings. sure feel the power and the glory of the living God in that song. Right now, we're going to have some responses read that come in from around the world, from the pastor's literature. It's soul-winning literature. We're going to have Sister Alice, and she's going to start reading these responses. Sister Alice.
The first response is from India. Dear compassionate brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ of Tony Lama Ministries, greetings to our world evangelist and pastor, Reverend Tony Lama, and all the ministerial staff members in the Blessed Ministry and Holy Saints in particular in the USA. Our love and gratitude to you all. We have spent the money to purchase items for the fire accident victims sent by you for their upliftment. The victims and all the people here are glorifying the Lord on your behalf for the greatest charity and loving kindness. We have provided them with some foods, cooking vessels, new clothes, and Telugu Holy Bibles yesterday, January 12, 2012. We are greatly indebted for your help in need. I am very grateful to you all for helping the miserable victims. With love and prayers, we remain. We have enclosed the photos of the Samaritan work done on your behalf for the miserable victims here in our place. We need hundreds of Telugu newsletters for the evangelism for the support of our Lord's gospel work. We need your every care for a poor evangelist like me in the service of the Lord to bring as many number of souls that were lost as possible to the loving arms of Jesus Christ, unto God our Father in heaven. Hope to hear from you. Salutations to you all for your love and great concern. All are praying for your well-being and prosperity and for our loving Saint Tony Lama. Please look into the attached files to this letter. Your least and loving fellow servant in Jesus Christ, V.R. Raju Chinta, Pastor Tony Lama Christian Ministries, Jayanthi Colony, Ambajipeta, E.G. District, Andhra Pradesh, India. This next letter is from Burkina Faso, and it was translated from French. Beloved brothers in Christ, allow me to greet you in the precious and glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the name by which we have received the divine authority to walk over all the powers of the devil without fear. We pray that the Lord blesses your ministry more and will always give you the strength to continue on to expand the kingdom of God. We really loved the publication, Is It Wrong for Born-Again Christians to Work for the Secular Government, or Should We Work Only for the Government of God? The various pieces of literature that we have received have edified us, and as it is also our concern to expand the kingdom of heaven, we have organized days for evangelism where, before the people who are present, we read the literature we received from you and also give it out to those who can read. Once again, thank you for all this. We are praying that the Lord Jesus Christ blesses your ministry more, and I am sure that Christ will lift you up in these last days, because he tells us that for those who are not ashamed to speak about him on this earth, he will not be ashamed to speak about them before the Father. You have dared to make Christ known throughout the world, and your reward will be great. We would love to receive your French publications again and some Bibles for our new converts. May the Almighty God bless you. All our best wishes for the year 2012, Bonse Remy, the Evangelism Center of Zula, Kodugu, Bul Kayende, Burkina Faso, Africa.
Amen, sister. So great to hear those responses from around the world. You can tell that they're sincere and that they love the Lord, because the pastor's literature is so spirit-filled that it moves people to salvation, moves people to become on fire for the Lord instead of being a deadhead and just sitting on a church bench thinking that they're saved because they belong to a religious group. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Right now, we have a guest on this program. This is Brother Dave. And how long have you been at the ministry, Brother Dave?
8 months now.
Eight months. Been good 8 months?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Where are you from again?
Michigan.
All the way from Michigan. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Dave is a new convert. He's a new brother here. And he's hasn't just joined a church, but he gave his heart, his soul, his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken up the cross daily to consecrate his life unto the living God. And with that, Brother Dave, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and the way things were before you're saved and what it's like since you came to know the Lord.
Well, before I came to the Tony Alamo Christian Ministry, I'd been seeking the Lord. I was reading the Bible. I'd been attempting to do what the Bible was saying, but I was still in the bondage of my sin, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to stop doing it at all. I kept trying to get other people's opinions on how to stop sinning, and they would just say, just let Jesus do the work, kind of implying that I don't do anything and just continue on with my life. Somehow that didn't sit well with me, and I kept seeking God and praying and doing what the Bible said, and he led me to this ministry, the Tony Alamo Christian Ministry, and I received one of the tracts from one of the members here, and it was Be Ye Transformed. It was telling me I had to be holy, which I knew, I just didn't know how. I had prayed about it, about whether or not I should go there, and that night I actually seen like crosses on the street. I had been following all God's signs previously, so I just went on that sign that God gave me, and I drove all the way from Oregon to Southern California to Canyon Country here. And when I came here, I was delivered from the bondage of sin. But I didn't know until about a week later, and I said, hey, I'm not doing that anymore. Wow. I must be saved now. Wow.
And you were led through an old-fashioned sinner's prayer and gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you invited him into your heart, he really came in.
Yep.
Amen. Yep. So now you're a new creature, and all old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Praise the Lord. What could be more important to any of us? Any of you out there listening, what could be more important than your eternal soul? Now at this time, we'll read one of Pastor Lamo's latest pieces of literature. It's titled, What Will Ye That I Shall Do Unto You? By Tony Alamo. He's going to have his commentary on the scriptures, and listen closely. One of the most dynamic messages in the entire Bible, to me, is Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 to 32. It will be as powerful to you as well if you're able to meditate on it until it takes hold in your spirit, your mind, and your soul. Quote, and behold, two blind men, this message is not for blind men only, sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? There is no doubt that Jesus meant, I shall do whatsoever you want me to do unto you. Jesus is not merely saying this. He has full faith that he is much more than able to give these two men whatever they are praying, crying, asking him to do. Quote, I shall do unto you. With full faith in Jesus' ability to do whatever they ask, they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. That's Matthew chapter 20, verses 33 and 34. Today I finished reading those scriptures. I began praying because the Lord's Holy Spirit was upon me mightily. The Holy Spirit at that time revealed that this reading is not only about healing the blind. You and I have many things to pray to Jesus for. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. With God, all things are possible. And that's Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Only believe, Mark chapter 5, verse 36, and he will do it. If you believe Jesus and his rules, you can be saved and your prayers can be answered. You may ask, what do you mean, if I believe and follow the rules?
Does God have rules for us to follow before we can be saved and before our prayers can be answered?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, God is the rule maker. I am sure the two blind men followed a few of God's rules, such as, quote, pray without ceasing, and pray always. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, and Luke chapter 21, verse 36. The multitude couldn't shut these two guys up. They had heard that Jesus could do this sort of thing, and they believed it. And they would not be denied. They would not be quiet until Jesus stood still, called them, and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They told him what they desired. He touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. That's Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 through 34. All people need deliverance from something. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. We do not participate in our salvation, our healing, our deliverance. We must rely only on Jesus. He is our Savior, our healer, our deliverer. Those of us who are saved, we're like you that are not yet saved, like dead men floating in the midst of the ocean with no hope without Jesus. However, Jesus came to make dead people alive and for eternity. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 10. You are not born to remain lost. If you ask God in Jesus, like the two blind men, to help you, Jesus will answer you, save you, heal you, and deliver you. But you must ask, and you must be born again of God's Holy Spirit. Begin now by asking God to save your soul with this prayer. It's going to go right into the sinner's prayer that we're going to say at the end of this program. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now at this time, we're going to have a testimony here, a guest on this program, Brother Herod. And where are you from, Herod?
Nassau, Bahamas.
From the Bahamas?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long ways away.
That's a long, very long way.
And how long have you been with the ministry?
16 months.
16 months. Praise the Lord. It's been a good 16 months?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I can't get it better than that.
Why don't you tell us about your background and how it was before you were saved and how you came to know the Lord?
Well, long before I came to the Lord, I was born and raised in Christianity all my life. But at an early age, I started to go to school. I started to get involved in all kind of unlawful things in this world. I didn't have anything to do with Christianity, but I always had deep respect for God. I always accepted God as my personal creator, but I refused to give my life, my whole life, to praise God. But not until 2008, I went to a party with a few friends. Then one of my friends was involved into a fight, so I went down. Meanwhile, I had a pistol on me, so when I rushed to the crowd, so I grabbed the pistol, then I pulled the trigger on one of the guys who was trying to fight against my friend. But like whilst I was like on top of one of the guys, I felt like somebody pushed me off him. But I didn't know who it was. But from that very day on, it was like 2 weeks later, old man came over my house, started telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ. So from that very point on, I started to take heed. My mom, my wife, a lot of people was always come to me telling me about God. The only thing I would encourage everybody to do is to keep praying for me. One day, I might see myself doing exactly what they do, praising God with all my mind, with all my heart, with all my soul. So after that, It was like 2008 when I gave my life to God. I went from like church from church. I tried Baptist. Nothing worked out. I tried Jehovah's Witness. Everything went from worse to worse. But I came to L.A. September 2011. Then meanwhile, I started to question God, asking, what do you want me to do exactly? But God showed to me, he wanted me to praise him with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul. So I didn't feel like it was like a great deal for me to lay down my old life for a person who died for my sin that I may have eternal life. So when I came to L.A., I went to a first church. I can't remember what kind of church it was. But I didn't like the church, so I went to another church. But my spirit couldn't take to that worship when I went to the church, but I didn't like the teaching. I remember in the midst of November, when I was sleeping around 5 o'clock, a voice actually woke me up, telling me, since you want a church, I'm going to give you a church. But I saw, like, in the vision, I was quite awake in the vision. I saw, like, two guys walking, like, in some town, like, handed papers, like flyers. I didn't know what it was. So the voice actually told me to go Hollywood and Highland. I wasn't quite familiar with any place that has to do with L.A. or America. But I did exactly what the voice told me. When I came to Hollywood and Highland, I saw, like, the place was pretty much congested. So I see everybody just running around. Then I came across two brothers. One handed me a pass of gospel literature. I said, man, why can't you show me where the church at? That's exactly what I came for. So I said, where is the pastor? Meanwhile, he was talking to some other folks. So he didn't have time to respond to me. Then I started to yell, where's the pastor? Where's the pastor? Then he said to me, go to the van and talk to those brothers. Then they started to tell me, come to service, come to service. So I did that. When I came to service, I read one of the only first piece of literature I started to read. I think it was about September 11th, the very corruption which took place on September 11th. So when I started to read the tract, I went back to school, but I feel like God was convicted me for my sins. So I would read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, but at the same time, I would go to school. But one time, before I came to join the ministry, the Lord shows me I have 5 days to left the house where I was to come and join the ministry. It was early on Sunday morning. It was raining pretty much heavy. So I walked in the rain. I go in the train station. Then I called the brothers to pick me from Hollywood and Highland. When I came to join the ministry, I didn't have any type of control over sins. I would sin over and over it again. But I know there have to be a solution. There have to be a remedy for me to stop from sinning. But when I started to read the literature more and more each day, it started to insert into my mind. So I used to have a problem stealing, telling lies. But when I came to Tony Alamo Christian Ministry, I perfectly knew and believed. I knew with all my heart that this ministry was founded and built by God himself. No matter what people say, but I always know, because like the Bible also says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So I just take that as a daily lesson. So I just do exactly what the Lord commanded me to do. So ever since I came to the ministry, what I did, go tracking with the brothers each and every day, read the Bible each and every day. From that point on, I never had any problem sinning. As long as the devil keep like sowing negative thoughts into my mind, all I did is rebuke them with the word of God. And that's what the Bible commanded each and every person to do. God says in his word, be thou perfect, as your Father which is in heaven, be perfect. You cannot have a sinful life and feel like you are going to enjoy eternity in heaven with God. Even God himself said in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50 says, for flesh and blood cannot inherit into the kingdom of heaven. So what I did right now, I'm just trying to grow in the spirit each and every day, grow in the words. I'm still growing in the word each and every day. I give Jesus Christ all the glory, and I wouldn't trade him in this world for anybody, no matter how hard, no matter how complicated things may seem. I'm just thankful for my salvation.
Amen. A lot of peace serving the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of peace.
Your soul can finally rest.
Yeah. As long as you give him space. That's why he said, come unto me.
And the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light, isn't it?
It's light. All you have to do is believe it and receive it at the same time.
Amen. Well, Herod, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
I just love hearing Brother Herod's testimony. He was called into the ministry. It wasn't like he just decided one day. But the living God called him. Praise the Lord. And now our favorite part of the program. Favorite because this is Pastor Lamo's soul-winning literature. Still winning souls today. You know the devil really hates that. We're going to have Sister Michelle read one of Pastor Lamo's recent pieces of literature. Sister Michelle.
Desert Warriors by Tony Lamo, Volume 13200. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip again, quote, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Evangelist Philip went to Samaria. While he was there, a revival broke out. This revival was accompanied by outstanding miracles of power. The sick were healed, demons were cast out, the glory of the Lord was manifested, and the whole city was moved and stirred by the preaching of Philip. Philip was at the height of an apostolic ministry with God moving through him in a mighty way. Then one night the angel of the Lord spoke to him, saying, Philip, arise and leave the revival and go down toward Gaza into the desert, unquote. I think there would be some questioning in the heart of Philip as he listened to those directions telling him to leave the revival. Leave the move of God? Leave the demonstration of God's power and go down into the desert? There's no water there and no air conditioning. They don't have a McDonald's there or a Colonel Sanders. Lord, I don't like the desert. I want to stay here with the revival. This revival needs me. The power of God is moving. The revival is on. Souls are being saved. I'm needed here. But Philip started his journey down past Jerusalem on the highway that leads along the shore of the Mediterranean and out into North Africa. As he walked along the road, he prayed, "All right, Lord, I am here. What do you want me to do?" As he looked up, along came one of the Cadillacs of his day, a wealthy man riding in a chariot dressed in royal apparel. He was reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah as he rode along. Seeing Philip, he commanded the chariot to stop and invited Philip to get in beside him. Philip stepped into the chariot and noticed the man was reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. "Do you understand what you're reading?" he asked. He was reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The eunuch replied, "How can I understand if somebody doesn't tell me?" God had sent Philip to explain this scripture to this man. The man believed, became saved, and was baptized all on the same day. History tells us that this man was one in great authority, the treasurer of the whole land of Ethiopia, who returned to Ethiopia and brought the word of God to those people there and established a church there, the roots of which are still there today because Philip was obedient to God's word and went down into the desert. Many men of God have been sent to the desert. This is something that every one of us would like to avoid if it were at all possible. We find it uncomfortable when God cuts across our path and says to us, "I want you to go down to the desert." But in every life that God uses comes this desert experience. In Philip's experience, God had ministered to him. He was caught up in the Spirit and translated out of the desert over to the seacoast by the supernatural power of God. The desert experience is an absolute necessity in the lives of real men and women of God. He does not choose to perfect his vessels in the city, but rather in the desert place. You can tell when a person is in the desert because you'll hear him say, "I feel so dry, the heavens feel like iron, and I don't understand what is happening to me." God is bringing you into a desert experience. We are so interested in the ministry and in giving out, and that is good. We are so interested in the multitudes. We want to be going, but God is saying to us, son or daughter, I want you to come aside. I want you to draw away from the crowd. I want to separate you. I want to get you alone out here under the stars in a solitary place where I can talk to you. I want to burn my word into your eternal soul. I want to put my message into your mouth. I want to get down into your innermost being. I want to do a work in you. And this is something we are not always prepared for. We cry, but I don't like the solitary place. I like people around me. I like people to know what I'm going through. I like people to sympathize with me. I like people to understand. I like companionship. But God is saying, I'm pressing you into the desert, and if you really love me and believe my word, you'll go. I'm bringing you there because I want to meet you there, alone in the desert. Let's talk about this desert. I thank God there are streams of water. I thank God for mountaintops. But I also thank God that in the life of every man and woman who goes by the name of Christian, there is an appointment with destiny. Everyone that will ever come forth with a burning message, and every prophet that has the boldness to stand before the face of the whole nation and even the world, is the man that God has led to a solitary place, a desert place, a lonely place, a place of midnight darkness, a place where there is no moisture. That is the place where God speaks and deals and shapes and fashions and forms. Then God is able to send that man or that woman forth from that desert with life-giving water and his message of eternal salvation. When God called Moses, he was 80 years old. He had allowed Moses to receive an education and to live like a prince. For 40 years, he was waited on and catered to. He bathed himself in the sparkling waters of the Nile River with servants waiting on him hand and foot. His clothes were the finest of needlework, and he feasted on the royal dainties of Pharaoh's table as he learned the ways of the Egyptians. Then one day God said to Moses, "Phase one of your education is over, and now I have a more important appointment to keep with you." God led him over onto the backside of the desert. For 40 more years, he trudged up and down the sand dunes until his skin was burned with the sun and his eyes were red from the sand, until God had worked the solitariness of the desert into the very soul of Moses. And now God was ready to keep that appointment. His life was broken up into 3 40-year equal segments, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the desert, and then 40 years in judgment, and he was given the law for Israel and for the world. Moses met a burning bush on the backside of the desert. He heard the voice of the Lord, obeyed it, and came forth with the fire of a prophet and the glory of God in his soul. He led between 2 and 3 million Israelites out of captivity, working great signs and wonders and miracles, because he had met God in a desert place. If you're going to God's people with signs and wonders and miracles, and you are going to carry a rod that brings deliverance, there is also a burning bush that God has for you in his desert place that you must first meet. Don't think that someone is going to call you out of the congregation and lay hands on you and impart a ministry to you that is going to bring men and women out of blindness and bondage. Don't think that you are going to attend Bible school and somebody will hand you a diploma that will automatically qualify you to deliver your people. If you want to bring people out of the bondage of Egypt, then you are going to have to meet God on the backside of the desert. God will take away the pleasures. He will take away the comforts. He will take away the things that you've trusted in, and he will drive you from men in his spirit to a solitary place where it's just you and God. Every true prophet of God, every warrior for the Lord, anyone who ever expects to accomplish for God, must come face to face with his Creator on the backside of the desert. Joseph, come and testify. I was the 11th son of my father. I had spiritual dreams and spiritual visions, and I knew that I had a date with destiny, but I was one that lived in a solitary place. My father's children, my own brothers, despised me. I lived as an outcast in my father's home. I was the one that was sent to live in the dungeon and in the gloominess of prison. Joseph, how can you sit as a mighty prince over the land? Did you have a desert experience? Indeed, I met God's qualifications in the dungeon of Pharaoh. Where did you learn this forgiveness and this equity? Where did you learn the compassion that you feel toward other human beings? I learned it from crying my way through the lonely hours as I peered through the bars of Pharaoh's prison. That's where I learned the compassion of God. John, how is it that you can stand with such eloquence? John, how is it that you can move this multitude to repentance? John, how did this fire and this power and this passion come into your life that you can sway a nation with your preaching against sin? I left my father's home as a young man and went and heeded the call of the Holy Spirit and lived in the desert. I wore a leather girdle and ate wild honey and grasshoppers, and I met the Lord God on the backside of the desert. The word of God came to my heart, and I came out of the desert with zeal and the glory of God in my soul. Then and only then was I able to preach a message of repentance that could bring people to their knees. After Paul was converted on the Damascus Road, he preached Christ for a time. Then he went into Arabian desert for 2 years. The scriptures tell us nothing about these years, but he disappeared into the desert for 2 years after his conversion and lived in a lonely, solitary place. Only then did he come forth as the mighty apostle of God. And even you, Lord Jesus, you who have been anointed from before the foundations of the world to bring eternal salvation to a lost and dying world, you, Jesus, yes, even the Lord, where are you going? Are you going to the temple in Jerusalem to proclaim yourself as the Messiah? No, I am pressed in the Spirit to go into the wilderness for 40 days. And in those days of continuous fasting and prayer, he proved to Satan the power of God's holy word, and came forth out of the desert full of grace and truth to execute the mission he was on from heaven. Yes, even King Jesus did his time on the desert, and many more times than just then. Every man and every woman that God has ever laid his hand upon and called, he brings to a desert place. I'm talking about a solitary place in your spiritual life where God separates you, when people don't understand you, when you know that your time has come to be used of God. God says, I'm not going to send anyone to pray over or for you. You are going to have to do your own praying. You are going to meet God Almighty face to face. God will take you out to that desert place where you will either come to grips with your walk with God or you will die. You will lie on your face before God and cry out in agony until you find that rightful place in God. You'll find a new relationship with God, and you'll never care again when God tells you to go to Nineveh, because you've plugged into the throne of God yourself, and his glory is before your face constantly. I'm talking about a place where God instructs you and you receive his instruction. It's a place where there is no human comfort for you and where nobody understands what you are doing. What do you think David was going through when he had 600 men around him and not one of them understood him? He said, "My soul is thirsting for life. God, where have you gone? I can't feel you. My soul thirsteth for the living God." David was in a place where God wasn't coming to him and speaking to him, and he had to stand on the word of God that was working within him. He had to have faith in the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, that God would somehow carry him through this trial and spiritual desert. God is trying to grow some men and women up. You say, "God called me to prophesy." Oh, he did he? First, let me see the sand in your shoes. When the prophets of old came with the word of the Lord, some of them were stoned, some thrown in jails, and others ostracized and even killed. And here you are, the first time you suffer a little persecution, you cry and say, "I'm going to backslide." But if you let him and yield to his Spirit, God will perfect you in that desert place and mature you. There will come a time in your experience when God shuts people out and shuts you in with Him, and you cry, God, nobody understands me. God answers back, I don't want them to. You are just looking for a shoulder to cry on, and I want you to cry on my shoulder. Some of you are in that desert place right now. Others of you are beginning to come out of the desert. You've been with God. You are talking to God, and God is talking to you. You're meeting God's terms. You found that place in God where you are unmovable and unshakable. You're not up and down in your Christian walk. You've come face to face with God and with reality. You've learned the lessons of the desert well. You know how to pray, and you know how to take hold of His promises. You know who you are, and you know who God is. You don't need human reassurance, because you've heard from God Himself. You're not hearing second hand, but you are talking to God directly, and He is talking back. Arise and go down to the desert. I have something for you in the desert. Perplexities, disappointments, heartaches, reverses. You can be in that desert physically, you can be there mentally, or you can be there spiritually. But God is dealing with your heart in that desert place. Why, Philip, why are you going to that desert? Because there is a man there who is going to turn a kingdom and a nation unto God. God does not put you in a place of suffering because He is displeased with you. God only allows the choicest to suffer. Suffering is not for run-of-the-mill people, because God doesn't bother to grind anything but good wheat. You ask, how come others have had it so easy and I have had it so hard? They had it easy because God isn't asking them to stand like an oak tree. Why is it that so-and-so has so much immaterial goods? It is because that's all God has for them. God can't trust them with suffering. He can't put any fire under them or they would burn up. God doesn't waste His furnace of affliction. If there isn't gold in your soul, God wouldn't waste the furnace on you. If there isn't something in you that will come forth with divine life, God will not send a trial or a tribulation your way. The trials and tribulations are for the saints of God that carry His word to humanity. The badge of Christian achievement is when that persecution that came upon Jesus comes upon you. Everyone loves to be patted on the back and hear people say good things about them. They glow like a neon light bulb. They love for people to love them and to think well of them. They don't like to hear people say, stay away from him, he's a heretic, he's in false doctrine. But what does God say? Quote, beware, son, when all men speak well of you. That is no badge of distinction. You are not on God's record of good behavior when everyone is saying good things about you. But when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad and dance for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. So it should be music to your ears when men speak evil of you because of the name of Jesus. God is looking for some Moseses and some John the Baptists and some Josephs and some Deborahs and some Samuels, because the world is in darkness and needs to have the light of life delivered to them. He wants those men and women to come out of the wilderness who have met God in those secret places, in the lonely hours, those heart-wrenching hours when you can't sleep and you have to pray, those only known to God hours when the only moisture is the tears that run like rivers from your eyes as you cry out to God, God, see me through this trial. Help me make it through another day. Don't let me go under, God. Give me the strength, the inner strength, to rise up anew and afresh in your spirit. Somewhere in the crying and the tears and the toils and the agony, God, help me to forgive this time. Don't let this hurt be so deep that I can't forgive. Wash me in your precious blood and fill me with an outpouring of your spirit. You've agonized all night until you see the sun rise again on another sleepless night and a bed that is wet with your tears and sweat as you have wrestled with God to meet Him and to be able to come through changed because God said one day, go down to the desert. God chooses his witnesses and then trains them in the desert. God finds his men and his women in those deserts of disappointments when your character has been maligned and people have said unkind words and unjust things about you. You cannot see how a righteous God would hold his peace when you've been mistreated. But he said, I'm calling you now for your desert experience. You have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until there isn't another prayer to be prayed, and even your prayer life has become a desert. Your heart aches so much that all you can do is sit in church and cry. You can't find God in the song. You can't find God in the dance. You can't find God in the worship. It has all dried up. You've done the best that you know how. You've paid your tithes and you have believed the word of God. You look at the balance in your bank book and your liabilities are more than your income. You've preached the word to people and tried to be charitable to them. You've gone out of your way to show kindness. And the only thing that has been reciprocated has been hard and harsh words. You are in the desert place, but that's when God comes and he burns out of your soul all the things that would be detrimental to you. The angel of the Lord himself, comes and speaks to you out of the burning bush and says, you can go now. You have the words of eternal life for my people. You have a word of hope, a word of deliverance. It is then that you begin to be eternally thankful to God for dealing with you, and you build an altar there in the desert to him. You'll never ever forget that place where you and God met face to face. You'll find what it's like to be led completely and totally by God's Spirit, and the living waters that you have found will turn that desert into a fruitful garden. All this just for being obedient to God in that desert place. God is saying, I want to visit my people. The cry of humanity has come up before me, and I don't have a man to send. I will not send a prophet that has not been prepared. I will not send a preacher that the Spirit does not lead. I cannot send a man to preach repentance until that man has found repentance himself. I cannot use a man that has not been to the backside of the desert. Then you can say, God, now I understand that everything is as it is. I understand now why you've let these things happen, and you didn't send any rain into the desert place of loneliness, despair, rejection, privation, and misunderstanding. For it was you that brought me there. You didn't understand at first, you said. Why? What have I done? Where have I failed God? Why hasn't God opened up the door? Why am I in this situation? You are there because God is preparing a man or a woman to take a message of salvation, love, unfailing mercy, and grace to humanity. God will sustain you, and you're going to embrace this desert experience, and you are going to thank God for it. The sweetest hour that you're ever going to know is when God comes down in that desert place, and right before you is that burning bush in that lonely, solitary place. When you're homesick and weary, then suddenly the angel of God appears, and you start to thank God for this lonely, wind-swept mountain. Then God will lead you in his Spirit to touch the hearts of men and women with his mighty, supernatural deliverance. Get started now by saying this prayer to God.
Thank you, Sister Michelle. All those of you that would like to be saved and set free from sin, set free from Satan, set free from the world, that would love to have power over sin, not just excuses. Say this prayer. Say it to God. Say it from the very, very depths of your heart and soul. And mean it with everything you've got. Say this prayer like it's the most important prayer of your entire life. Repeat after me and say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he sits on the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer.
I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will forgive my sins and save my soul. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command and sin no more. And if you've said that prayer and you meant it with all your heart and soul, just raise your hands in praise and thank the living God for his great mercy. And as you feel the peace of God flood your soul and the joy of the Lord overwhelm you, worship the Lord and praise him and thank him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we're going to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this literature or messages from the pastor on cassette or CD. Write to Tony Lamo, World Pastor, Tony Lamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, Post Office Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or you can call the 24-hour prayer and information line at 479-782-7370, or you can fax to 479-782-7406, or visit on the website at www.alamoministries.com and info@alamoministries.com. And right now we're going to close with a song by Pastor Lamo called Lead Me, O Lord, Won't You Lead Me?
Lead me, O Lord.
I am tired and I need thy strength and power to guide me, O Lord, all my darkest hour. Lord, just open mine eyes that I might see.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me?
Just open my eyes that I may see.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me?
I am lost, if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, guide me along the way.
For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Just open my eyes that I may see.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me?